Real quick, I just wanted to share, since we're in a spirit of testimony, Diamond, I'm going to share this real quick. She was having issues. You went to the doctor this last week on Monday, right? And they said that you had stones. Was it kidney stones? Gallbladder stones. Okay. So she was just having some pain. And Jerry and someone else met with you on Wednesday or something like that and prayed for you, right? Thursday? Super close. And you had, but no pain. You have no pain. Come Amen. On, Jesus. That's yeah. amazing.
Come on.
So good. So thank anyway, you, thank you, Lord.
That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're in a sweet spot right now, and it's just really good. Pastor Mike and Debbie, they made it home this week. They're not here this morning. They're just resting up. They'll be back in the office this week, and he'll be with us next Sunday. They'll be with us next Sunday. But yeah, for those of you who didn't know or hear us last Sunday, we prayed for them. They went down to California to take care of family, just love on family. Mike's mom and then Debbie's mom and dad, they're just getting up there in age. And we just love Pastor Mike and Debbie and prayed for them this week. And so they're just resting up. They might be watching us online, getting wrecked by the Lord like some of us here in the room are getting. But yeah, we started off with testimonies, and I just want to give you a quick testimony as we were ministering just now. So years ago, I had a lot of anger. I grew up in a house that had anger. You know, some of us, we adopt things that we shouldn't adopt. And so I just adopted anger as one way of expressing emotions. And I'm number three in six, so six kids, I'm number three. And so there's a little bit of middle ground to where, you know, two older brothers, they get in a lot of trouble. You know, two younger sisters and a younger brother, it's easy just to be a conduit that just shovels everything down a little further. So you kind of sit in this little area. But the beauty of what God has been doing in my life recently is really a testimony of something that I let him do decades ago when I gave my life to the Lord. And it was deliver me of anger and the manifestations of anger as a way of challenging unbelief, as a way of challenging just trials in my life, disappointments. It just came out in anger. As I got born again when I was 22 years old, the Lord really went after it. And I didn't realize it was a spirit, and there was a spirit of anger. And I was in relationship with that anger and that spirit in such a manner that it just had its way in my life. And as I got to know the Word, and as I spent time in the Spirit and was discipled by some incredible men in my life, there came a moment when I had to make a choice of, am I going to let the blanket and that spirit of anger, which I have become so familiar with, as a way of creating a buffer, as a way of dealing with situations, was I going to let it go? And I had tried to trap him. I mean, I'm just using some words that I used back then. I tried to be sneaky and trap it. I had techniques of like, you know, oh, I can trap him, I can suppress it. Now, at the time, I didn't know how big of an issue the spirit of anger really was in my life, but it would soon be revealed. And I just tried to walk through these things that were all good intentions, but they were done in my effort and in my ways. And there would be moments of disappointment because I'd be angry at Jacqueline, or I'd be angry at one of our kids as we started having kids, and angry as I was getting involved in more ministry and seeing things not go the way I wanted. And for any of you that have ever walked this out, you know that anger is just a fruit of a whole deeper root system, which we won't get into today. But in that moment when I realized the Lord was asking me if I really wanted to find freedom and be delivered, I was going to have to let go of not just this desire that said, I don't want to be angry and I don't want to use anger, but the familiarity that I had and the relationship that I'd actually grown up with when it came to using anger and calling upon anger. And so in the midst of some prayer and some deep deliverance, as some people were praying with me and just helping me walk this through, there was a moment when I felt it leave. And I got delivered, and I felt different. And we, you know, again, if this is new language for you, we'll just help you disciple you in this. But God needed to then start to plant things in my life so that you know, if you dismiss one, there isn't seven more that come back, right? And so, again, I had great discipleship, great men in my life, a great wife that was walking and willing to understand. And so I found this freedom, and I began to recognize this very vulnerable place. As free as I was, there was this, how do I respond to this situation? Because I am disappointed. And I began to take on, you know, what we call righteous anger. Well, righteous anger, if not truly righteous, is just, it's a lie, you know, that just invites the spirit of anger back in. And not that I ever invited anger back in. It's I went looking for other things when what I needed and what people began to help me with is I just needed more of the Lord. I needed to understand how to deal with the situation. I needed to understand how to navigate the emotions. I needed to understand that the comfort and the familiarity of 22, 23 years of using anger as a way to relate to situations was no longer available to me. And the beauty of what God has done in my life and then what God is doing now in my life, and this is where I'm going with my testimony, is that this year, in 2023, one of the words the Lord gave me as a theme and something of pursuit is the word invitation. And I'm finding myself just everywhere I go, I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it. I'm attentive to it. I'm aware of it. I'm stewarding it. And I'm inviting, and there's these invitations. And this morning, we were using the word invitation. But as we got started, I saw the invitation of the Lord back when I was 23 years old. That displaced that spirit of anger. And what I'm getting at right now is that some of you put out invitations years ago that are still in the process of being fully worked out. Because when I saw that this morning, I thought, oh, that's really weird, Lord. I thought that invitation was done. I thought when I invited you in to displace the spirit of anger and deliver me from it, like, I know I'm free, and I have to guard my heart, and I stay in the word, and there are times when anger rises up, but it's not a spirit of anger. It's not something that is oppressing me. It's a flesh that I have to deal with. But when I saw that invitation standing out there, I was like, what is that, Lord? That's been 23 years, for those of you who put my age together real fast. 23 years ago, I put that invitation out, and you responded. And the Lord saying, it still stands before me. It's still a testimony of what I've done and what I'm doing. And if I did it for you, Jeff, I'll do it for others. And I felt like that invitation is available for any of you this morning. And that's just the spirit of anger. There's a whole lot of other things I've been delivered of. That I've invited the Lord to come and do a work in me that I feel like all of us should start to take an inventory of the invitations. The invitations where God was called upon, asked to come and minister to us, and now we have that invitation. Hey, Tiffany, do you want healing in this area? Here's the invitation. How many of you need a healing from sciatic nerves? How many of you have a sciatic nerve issue? Yeah, just let's pause. Yeah, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you that, Lord, they received the invitation that Henry put out through testimony. And that there's an invitation today, Lord, to receive the healing and the breakthrough that Henry testified. Now, God bless you. Those hands are raised in the name of Jesus. How many of you have been healed of sciatic nerve issues? Right there. So there is an invitation that stands out there as answered. So right now we say to those that have been healed of something like sciatic nerve pain, Father, would they be moved by you, Holy Spirit, to see the invitation they're carrying for other people? An answered testimony. An answered prayer. May they even this week be attentive to those in the marketplace, those in the city and community that might just complain like, oh, I got like sciatic nerve pain. And they'd be quick to go, oh, I'm carrying an invitation to healing. And you'd give a testimony. And so there's freedom. And so again, one more time, just bow your hearts with me. Heavenly Father, where you're taking this and the depth of what you're doing right now, we just surrender to you. And we thank you, Father, again, for the beauty of when we just allow you to have your way, to give you space and time to do what you want to do. We encounter your love. We encounter your peace. And we experience the truth that sets us free. And so we receive it today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One more time. Can you just honor the Lord and thank him? Thank you. Let's invite Jennifer up. I'm trying to think. I'm a little distracted this morning in the sense that, you know, the Lord's just apprehending my heart. So this is Jennifer Pelletier. Welcome, Jennifer Pelletier. Amen. Yeah.
This is quick, but I just really want to honor somebody here. Miss Tiffany, she is stood up and took our children, all the little children, and she's such a blessing. Every day she has within her little program that she prays. She has the kids pray for themselves, so they'll all pray for certain things that are happening within their lives or their body. She'll even pray for healing for them, and. You know, those are some of the things you just take for granted when you're teaching your kids and you just think it's kind of going, you know, just passing and going on. Well, our little Jedediah, he now has like a real heart for prayer. So anytime anybody needs anything, Jedediah will stop and go, let's pray. So, and if you all know Jed, he goes 100 miles an hour. So for Jed to even stop and want to pray is like, even more of a miracle. We have a daughter-in-law in San Diego that has cancer, and it doesn't look good. But as they were leaving, because they went to visit her, as they were leaving, Jed said, okay, you guys, we all need to pray. And everybody was in a hurry, but everybody's like, Jed, and they're like, he says, no, we all have to stop and pray. And if you don't know Jed, he's only 5, and he's just a little guy, so... Just please, thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Tiffany. It just really gave me my heart, too.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. This is Jennifer Pelletier. For those of you who don't know her. She's going to give us a quick update on power groups. She's going to lead us in a decree, and we'll collect our offering, and then she'll share just a little bit from her heart. And thank you again, Jennifer, for getting us to this place where we are moving forward with power groups. Amen?
Amen. I just love our family. I just came with this feeling this morning, and can you just look at someone to your right and left and like, wow, I just think our family is so awesome. I really just like our family. Like, I look at each of you, I'm like, our family is so awesome. Gosh, our family is awesome. I just had to say it. Gosh, our family is awesome. We just have such an awesome family. We have, as a family, just forging a new pathway, and we have started launching power groups, and we got to hear from some brave, courageous ones that just said, I will help lead the way. And so if you are here this morning, the power group leaders of Marsh, if you could just stand up, Marsh and Joe and Deandra, Lori and Linda and Debbie and Jeff and Rowena, Carolyn, so okay, and then Mark and Kim, if you could just stand up. So can we just applaud them? I am just so excited for these ones. We have an awesome family. So thank you. And also, you can sit down. You will also see that they have this huge yellow poster with their name on it. And last Sunday, I just said, can you just go and write them just a really sweet, encouraging note? So if you have not done that, please take an opportunity this after service and just write a quick note that you're so proud of them. You are excited for them, what God's going to do in them and through their power group, if you could do that. And also, if you did not have an opportunity to actually sign up for a power group. They're going to be back there after service again. Go talk to them, visit with them. Part of them stepping up and saying, yes, I will forge some new territory, is they actually are waiting for you because they need to connect with you and be a part of their community. So if you could just go and ask them what they're doing, if you missed last Sunday, visit with them. And what we are asking for is just a six-week commitment, which I totaled that up. We are asking for 9 hours. Just 9 hours, less than the fingers on your hand, 9 hours of you just to see what God can do in you as we build community, a family together, and for you to start moving out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, praying for one another, giving prophetic words, listening for words of knowledge, and just being fitted together. So with that, there is a declaration that I thought we could just say together as a family, because a lot of this is new. Just what the Lord wants to do in each of our life, in growth, in maturity, in just something, new territory that we're taking. So the declaration is, how about this? Let's just all stand and we're going to say this together. We'll just stand and just, okay, we'll say this together. I am believing for health overflowing, wisdom manifested, thriving relationships, outrageous generosity, financial freedom, fear conquered, joy unspeakable, hope unshakable, decisions made that will bless my family for years to come, encounters that will strengthen my love with God and people, opportunities to demonstrate the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, for guiding my every step through mountain or valley. Shine on so that others will see and experience the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, family. Awesome. So let's just welcome our beloved pastor, Jeff Chavez.
Amen. Give it up for Jennifer. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Real quick, I know Carolyn Eads has not been with us. If she was here, you'd recognize her. She's taking care of family. But by the Carolyn poster, Gloria, wave your hand, Gloria. Gloria right there has partnered with Carolyn. Carolyn will be back next Sunday. See Gloria. That is specifically for women. So we've have a few that are just for men. But Carolyn and Gloria really have it on their heart to welcome women who are looking for friendship. Carolyn is committed to making you a meal, sitting down with you, putting you around a table. And if that's you, if you're just looking as a woman to connect and just grow in some friendship and fellowship, Carolyn and Gloria are making space through their power group to welcome the Holy Spirit in and have friendships built, which will lead us into a little bit of what we're going to talk about this morning. So again, I just want to say thank you, especially to all of those of you that have committed to sign up. You will be here. Here's just a few details about this, especially for you power group leaders. After service today, power group leaders, you take your lists and start to make contacts. Start to call, start to invite, start to communicate, because some of the power groups, they have a time and a date, but they're working on location, so they will communicate that to you. Most of them will be on here on campus, but some are elsewhere, and so that's the role of the power group leader. The other thing is that the nature of power groups, so I got saved outside of the church. Somebody evangelized to me, witnessed to me, invited me into a relationship with Jesus Christ, even with all my anger. I got born again, and I got into what back then was called a mini church. It was a power group, small group setting of a big church. And I went to that before I ever stepped foot in the church, the four walls of the building. And to be honest with you, when I finally did step into the big church, I did not like it. There were way too many people. I didn't care for it, because what I had found immediately was the beauty of discussing and communicating and connecting with other people who were my peers as far as age. Some of them were way more versed in the word than I was, but I felt welcomed and I felt connected. Some of you are going to need to invite people to power groups to join you. The power groups are not exclusive for just Echo Hills, and they're not exclusive just for the born again. They are a place that something can happen that we can't do on Sunday mornings, and that's create dialogue. That's create discussion. That's the ability to, you know, not everybody can get up on the mic and validate Tiffany, even though I know you all would. But in a small group that's set with the intentionality of encountering the power of God, with inviting him and expecting him, all of a sudden, that validation isn't just something that's tongue-in-cheek. It's actually empowered by the Spirit of God, and it can change somebody's life. And it can become an invitation to the corporate body, to a Sunday morning. And so for you power group leaders and those of you that are committing to power groups and giving your time and making the effort to be involved, one, get committed, attend, and two, start to see who else in your life might benefit from this, where they can be invited. And if it's not that power group you're in, maybe it's another one we're offering, invite somebody to join you and partner with you. It's follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? So if you have a Bible this morning, open up to Ephesians chapter 3. We're just going to look at a few verses this morning. It's been a full morning, and I know the Lord's really ministering to us. And I just want to get us into a place where this morning's word is going to apply specifically to the nature of power groups. The other thing we are fully aware of is that some of you are involved in other groups with other churches and other friends, and that's great. And so maybe the time that you... you know, you just don't have the time to commit to a power group that we're offering here at Echo Hills, that's okay. We know as a local church and a body of Christ, we need to get smaller. And the way we get smaller is by getting into power groups and being in relationship to where there's dialogue and there's community. And so this morning, we're going to look at Ephesians and we're going to jump down into verse 14. And really, if I could put a title on this message this morning, it would be Looking into the Heart of God. Looking into the heart of God for the sake of others. So oftentimes we come and seek the Lord for ourselves. Oftentimes we come and seek the Lord for on behalf of a situation in our life. And sometimes we'll partner with others, but there's actually a posturing that God would call us into that really is for the sake of others. And what we find here in Ephesians is Paul is going to transition us to get our eyes fixed on not just ourselves anymore, but on others. And so we find him in verse 14, starting with this prayer. And he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." One of the challenges when we start to go from a large gathering to a small gathering is this thing that Jennifer and I have been talking about, and it's the nature of chemistry. So some of you look at the list and see who signed up and go, oh no, nope, I won't be going to that power group because their name is on it. Some of you are looking at that list and go, oh, I don't know any of these people. Or at least you can't put a face to a name yet, and then when you find out who they are, you might be feeling like, oh, that's who that is? And so chemistry is absolutely a part of building relationships. But if we back up to Ephesians 2:21, remember what Paul said. It's that we are committed to being fitted together, not necessarily fitting in. And so what I want to challenge some of you is the hesitancy that you might have to getting involved in a power group, getting involved in an intimate setting where the word is made present, where the Spirit is invited. Because what God actually wants to do is show you what it's going to take to be fitted together. What it's going to take to come to a place where we learn to reconcile our differences. And here's the thing. You're not always going to like or agree with everybody. And that's not the condition. That's not even the goal of, oh, now I gotta like you. No, it's a much higher goal. I'm called to love you. Right? I mean, liking you is way down here. And oftentimes we step over that and then put it under our foot and go, nah, I don't need to like them. You're right, you don't have to like them. But you are commanded to love them. And the conditioning necessary that has to take place in our heart to get there is not always easy road. And so when we stop and start to think about shifting a culture and going from a large church into smaller gatherings, power groups, and these expressions, there is a shift that some of us find more challenging than others. And as we are in Ephesians, what I want to unpack today and next week is, how do we navigate that shifting? How do we navigate this posture? Because here's the other reality. If we just stopped and began to address the reality and the nature by which you and I have been called, we'll understand the context of what Paul is saying and be able to apply it with an actual joy. Lord, I'm excited to meet new people. Lord, I'm excited to discover what you're doing in them. I'm excited to know, Lord, what needs to be worked out in my salvation, in my faith, in my belief, in order to be better fitted together with others. But oftentimes, that is not the posture we take, because we don't understand the significance of the gospel. We've either lost sight of it, or maybe it was never instilled in us in the first place. And so what I want to just share with you and just lay out this morning and unpack next week is the reality of what Paul is saying and doing. And I don't have this on the screen for you, but if we were to back up in Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 6, Paul is describing in those first 13 verses this transition that he made in chapter 2. And it's understanding that, hey, listen, the Jews have been called children of covenant, but the Gentiles have been invited in. In Romans 11, if you go and read this week, in Romans 11, Paul says it a little differently. He calls the Gentiles the wild olive branch that are being grafted into the olive tree, the olive branch, which is Israel. But who is the root? We sang about it today. It is Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus who sustains the olive tree. And what he's provoking us to see when he says that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I have been made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Everybody take a deep breath. It's a long sentence, but that's verse 6 and 7 that we skipped over and jumped down to verse 14. What Paul is saying is something so radical that I'm literally just going to pause and stop this morning and send you out of here in a few moments with the severity of the statement. Because what he's saying is I've been called as an apostle, Paul, to preach a gospel to a pagan nation, to a nation that all Jews look upon and say they have no part in what God is going to do for us. And what he's saying is that the Gentiles, these individuals who are non-Jewish people, they are a people or a group that is considered heathen or pagan and are outside of the promise that God made initially to the Hebrews through Abraham. And what Paul is saying is that I've got a mystery that I'm unpacking for you. This is verses 1 through 13 in chapter 3. I have this mystery, and it's that God, in his grace and in his love, is now revealing the fullness to not just his chosen people, the Jews, but to all people, and those all people are called Gentiles. Anybody outside of the children of covenant. And I realize that some of us, we read that and we go, okay, yeah, Gentiles, you know, and Jews, great, I'm a Christian. Great, I'm a Christian. But imagine yourself and do this thought experiment with me for just a moment. That you are a child of covenant, a person of Jewish heritage, a child of Israel. And you are entertaining the possibility that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, our Messiah. And you realize that the legalism and the laws and the covenants are in the process of making more sense and being fulfilled. And so you've come to a place of acceptance. And now, one of the patriarchs of Jewish law, Old Testament, the Torah, Paul himself, who has been converted and is now a Christian, who believes in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, is telling you a child of covenant, that the Gentile nation, all people outside of Israel, the 12 tribes, Gentile can mean person or it can mean tribe, nation. It means heathen and pagan because they're outside of the covenant and the law. To all those people, there's now this invitation to receive what is rightfully ours. Who does Paul think he is? What on earth is this good news gospel really about? And again, bear with me. You're hearing this. Many of you in this room have grown up knowing this. You have this faith that, yes, if I am not of Jewish blood and if I am not one of the 12 tribe, children of the 12 tribes, then I am a Gentile. But I am a born-again believer, therefore I assign myself the title Christian. And I live as a Christian. You were a wild olive branch that has been grafted in. And we get that. But if I take this thought experience a little further and give you a real life illustration, it looks like this. Paul is saying to his brethren, his Jewish brothers and sisters, hey, listen, this covenant that you and I have isn't just for us. The promises isn't just for us. The benefits, the reward, the beauty, all of it, that's not just for us. It's also for the Gentiles who through Jesus Christ believe and are now partakers, fellow heirs of this covenant. So to Gentiles, pagans, heathens, outside of being children of covenant, when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they get grafted in. If next Sunday, 10 drag queens walk into our church looking for Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, who am I and who are you to say they don't have a place here? Who am I and who are you to say they better change their gender identity? They better change their clothes. They better stop professing to be such and such if they're going to receive the covenant. See, you and I don't get to make that call. And that thought, as radical as that may seem for some of you, others of you, yes and amen, you get it. But for some of you, that thought of, wait, you want us to do what? You want us just to welcome drag queens into the service? You want to welcome them with open arms and show love to them? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we compromise the gospel. Paul is not saying that the Gentiles just get to receive the promise. They have to come through Jesus Christ just like the Jews. But you and I were sinners before we ever got to this place of being called saints. And maybe you weren't a drag queen. Maybe you didn't struggle with your sexual identity. But were you spending your money for selfish reasons? Were you finding yourself drowning in a bottle? Were you using some substance up your nose to settle the debt of despair? Wherever you came from, you came through Jesus Christ in order to receive the covenant of promise. And no matter who walks through that door, the challenge that you and I have to understand that Paul is preaching here is that, hey, it is not an easy thing to just accept. It's not an easy thing to figure out how to work with. And what I'm not saying, and what we're not advocating for, is that they get to come in and take over. Or that they get to come in and somehow be propped up and promoted as something other than, if you're a born-again believer, we're going to celebrate the work that God's doing. But here's what's happening in most of our churches and probably in most of us that I want to make sure we get aligned right with the Lord. And it's this thought that somehow behavior needs to be addressed before belief. That somehow you need to behave in order to be validated in your belief. And can I just tell you that if you have been wounded by me or anybody else in the church that has asked for behavior modification and not cared about your faith or feeling that making an effort for you to feel like you belong, please forgive me. Please forgive us. On behalf of Christ, be a representative of forgiveness. For where we have made the gate to enter into the covenant a gate of behavior. A gate that says you have to dress a certain way. You have to smell a certain way. You have to sound a certain way. You have to eat certain foods. Do you see why all of a sudden the law needs to be reexamined in light of how Jesus has fulfilled the law? The standards that we keep in order to say we have covenant oftentimes become a standard that keep people out. And that was never what God intended. There is a door in. And it is Jesus Christ. And though 10 drag queens may walk in and not want Jesus Christ, they better feel loved because of the work Jesus Christ is doing in me and the work that Jesus is allowed to do in you. And if they don't ever come back, they can at least carry a testimony. There was love. Because love doesn't mean compromise. Love doesn't mean I agree with your sin. Love doesn't mean you get to stay the way you are. Love doesn't mean that somehow we take Jesus apart and dismantle him and somehow you get this piece and you get this piece and it's okay if you believe this piece. If anything, love does the exact opposite. He takes broken pieces and begins to bring them together. He takes broken hearts and he mends them. He takes broken lives and he fits them together. And so Paul here is making this radical statement that drag queens, gays and lesbians, homeless, alcoholics, drug addicts are just as welcomed to receive the covenant of promise that the children of covenant got to receive. And the actual order that you and I are to live in is first communicate that there is a place for people. That Jesus welcomes you. Jesus loves you. Jesus makes us feel belonged. Jesus is going to fit us together. And if you're willing to accept Jesus, if you're willing to accept him not just as Savior and Deliverer, but also as Lord, he'll change your life. He'll change it to where all of a sudden our belief systems begin to change. And once our belief systems begin to change, now we start to see change in behavior. My testimony earlier, I believed that anger was the best way to deal with people. And it wasn't super effective, but I thought it was because I believed it was. I used to believe that my wife was never going to get angry at me because I thought I was perfect. But I quickly learned that that's not true. That there are places that I need to work out with God, deal with belief issues that affect behavior so that then I can love her in ways that God has called me to love her. And I can receive love from her that God has called me to receive. Some of us, we struggle with feeling like we belong. And again, back up one. Oh, can we go to verse 14? Back up one. Thank you, Marnie. For this reason, see, Paul, and we'll unpack this next week. Paul realized how profound his statement is. He realizes how challenging it is. I realized this morning that for some of you who have a seat next to you, I mean, do one more thought experiment with me. That empty seat next to some of you, imagine your enemy sitting there. I'm not talking about the devil. I'm talking about somebody in your life that you just don't know how to get along with and doesn't know how to get along with you. And you don't get to elbow the person you're sitting next to. They're, you know, oh, that's you. He's talking about you. No, I'm talking about the empty seat. What if next Sunday that person ended up sitting next to you? Would you make them feel belonged? I hope so. It might be a challenge, and Paul recognizes that challenge. Paul recognizes how profound a revelation Jesus Christ really is. And what I want to do is just read these verses with you, and we'll unpack them next week. But I want you to go away with this thought. That as he gets going here, he's giving us blueprints in how to navigate the challenge of change. He's giving us insight into how to respond in the strength of the Spirit and not just our flesh. And there's this place that I'd give you this little phrase, that what you love will control you. What you love will control you. That if there is no love in your heart to accept somebody that looks a little different than you, chances are you have this image of love that's controlling you to not love them, to not embrace them. I used to be super competitive. I loved competing until I realized it wasn't very healthy for longevity of relationships. Because I would compete over everything. Even down to the ridiculous nature of competing with my kids, like how fast I could tie my shoes and beat them. And they're like 5 and 6 at the time. And walking away really proud. I still got it. I can take them out, tie my shoes faster. You know, it's dumb. I mean, I can laugh now. But, you know, that was just like 10 years ago, you know, being that competitive. Some of us love things that are keeping us from being able to love God and love others. And displacing that, and all the worship that we sang this morning, it lends itself to this message. See, our affections will determine our actions. Our affections will determine our actions. If I love my buddies more than my wife, guess where probably most of my actions and energy are going to go? Hanging out with them versus being home on time for dinner. Or hanging out with her. If I love eating out more than I do stewarding my money, chances are I will probably struggle with debt and financial stewardship because I love to spend money on eating out rather than being disciplined to make a home-cooked meal. If I love recreation, I know I'm poking, and I'll get into the prayer in a moment and close. But if I love my Sunday mornings on my four-wheeler, in my boat, in the woods, more than I love the gathering of the saints, guess where I'll be found most Sunday mornings? And that's not a knock on anybody, please. Tim, wherever you're at. I love that you go four-wheeling. And I get, there's no problem vacationing and camping, and the beautiful thing about Tim is that he makes a point to be here. But every week I get a story of being out in the woods on a four-wheeler. And last week, Deandra asked, if any of you have four-wheelers, invite me. Deandra, Tim has four-wheelers. Find Tim. Because there's nothing wrong with, yes, there's nothing wrong with being out on a boat. But if you love that more than the Lord, then we have a problem. So follow with me on the screen these verses. This is Paul's heart because he sees the profound nature of what it means to embrace this change and this reality. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name, that he, God, would grant you and me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to invite the worship team. Amen. I want to invite the worship team up. Small group, power group leaders will be in the back. Men, if you're available, come find us over in the corner. We'll connect your names. This week, I'd love for you to meditate on these verses here in Ephesians 3. We'll unpack them next week. We'll just focus on these verses and unpack them before our business meeting. But between now and then, I want you to pray his prayer. I want you to know this is how Pastor Mike and I and our leaders are praying for you. That in the midst of embracing change, in the midst of being a church that can invite others to join with us, in the midst of going after power groups where the large church becomes smaller churches, there's this place that we need a strength that can only come from the Spirit of God. And when we let him in, what he's really at work to do is to give us a love, the ability to love. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Paul's prayer. We thank you for his words. We thank you, Father, for the stirring up that is happening in this place this morning. We thank you for the invitation to have you come and meet us in this place that we're at. Father, we even thank you that, Lord, if there were to be individuals that walked into this room next Sunday that were dressed a little differently, sounded a little differently, looked a little differently, smelled a little differently, that, Father, that they'd find a place that is in pursuit of trying to understand what it means to surpass the knowledge of this age and walk in the knowledge of you, Jesus Christ, through love. And that we'd be a place where we could say, you belong here. And as people feel like they belong, that then, Lord, we would grow together in our belief, which then, Lord, it would transform our behaviors. It'd transform, Lord, our impact. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to help us this week steward the reality of heaven on earth. I want to invite you to stand and join the worship team. And then when you're done, feel free to leave. Feel free to connect with a power group leader. For those of you that want to just linger, the worship team will just stick around for a few minutes. But allow the Holy Spirit to awaken your hearts this morning to a depth and a height and a width and a length of love that he has for you and I. Amen. Amen.